Okay, sorry, what were you gonna ask? Hello, Avalanche fans, and welcome back to the Avs Hockey Podcast. This is your home for almost everything Avalanche, and I'm your host, Jay Veen. In this show, my man James Tapeleg Graylian and our special guest, Will Shippey from the Ducks Avs Podcast, discuss EJ's new deal, two new Avs jerseys, Rhett Barrera looking comfortable, and the start of the 2015-2016 Avalanche season. Those topics and much more Avs and hockey stuff coming at you in episode number 97 of the Avs Hockey Podcast. Stay tuned. The AHP is next. Hey, what's going on, Avs fans? Welcome back to the Avs Hockey Podcast. He is James Tapeleg Graylian. I am Jay Veen, and this is your home for almost everything Avalanche. James, how are you, man?
I'm doing good. How you doing, Jay?
I'm doing great. I hear you have someone on your end that would like to speak with us. Who you got?
We have this is a first for you and I. We have a special guest.
This is a first. We never do special guests.
You and I have never had a special guest. No, we are bitter, angry people who just keep everything to ourselves.
Get off my lawn. Yes.
Get off my lawn.
Get off our lawn.
And I have somebody on my lawn right now. It's Will Shippey. Will Battleship Shippey. Hi, Will, first off.
Hey, guys. Hi. Happy to be here. Thanks for having me.
Will, what's happening?
Will had the Ducks Avs podcast
right.
for a while. And then, he became a big bad quitter and quit the game, and I don't blame him.
And my co-host divorced me. What can I say?
And now you have...
Now I'm in a lawn chair on your lawn.
Now, yeah, and that's what he does. He sits on my lawn. He's a lawn
man. He's just kicking up his feet. He doesn't make himself useful. He doesn't like help out with the grass or anything. He just sits there.
No, he just sits there until he gets called by Travelocity to be their stunt double.
Okay. That's fair enough.
Yeah.
Living the life.
Hey. And now what is your... Now you have a podcast about movies and beer.
I do.
What's it called?
Artist Brew Podcast.
The Artist Brew
Podcast. It's very laid back. Just have some beers, talk about pretty much one film every show. Mm-hmm. And occasionally we'll hit other artistic, you know, mediums, but for the most part, film.
Cool. But this is the thing with you. You are as you and I talked about it, you are a 50% Ducks fan, 50% Avs fan.
Oh, yeah.
That's the Ducks Avs podcast thing.
Yeah.
That's right.
How does that work out for you?
Okay. Well, in 93, my grandpa took me to a game. I was 9 years old, and, you know, my mom was a huge baseball fan, so I went to a lot of baseball games. But then seeing hockey at that age, I was just blown away and was diehard. And then my aunt in 96, hey, you want to go to a Ducks game? Like, of course, in Colorado. So she took me to McNichols to see the Ducks and Avs play, and I've been 50-50 ever since.
Nice.
So
nice. You have the distinction of seeing the Avalanche at Mile High, at McNichols, right. And I never have. Which, yeah, I've seen Faith No More there. I've seen Judas Priest there. I saw Queensryche from the 20th row. I used to have hair, but you have seen the Avs at McNichols. I never actually saw it.
And it was a 2-2 tie. Missed those ties.
Oh, that's back in the day.
Remember Korea scored. Yeah, I remember Korea scored 9 seconds into the game on Patrick Waugh. And I think Sakic tied it up late in the third and ended in overtime.
Wow.
There you go.
And then nobody, and then Korea became a Av and didn't score.
No.
Hardly scored. Mm-mm. Everybody's bitter about that.
Yeah, he was pretty pointless.
That takes me back. All the 20th anniversary stuff takes me back to McNichols as well. It was a pretty cool place to watch a game.
Well, and you, Jay, you saw you saw the Rockies there.
I saw the Rockies there. I met Herb Brooks there. My dad sang the national anthem a couple times at McNichols. So
nice.
I saw that. That's when basketball was a little different game too. I watched literally hundreds of Nuggets games there too. So I watched indoor soccer there. I watched lacrosse there. There was a lot of stuff going on back there. That was the Colorado Avalanche was the old professional indoor soccer team. Before the Avs were the Avs and the Rockies there before the Rockies now or the Rockies then. It's Yeah, it was a pretty cool building with kind of its own character. I like Pepsi Center, but I do miss the roof being a little bit closer to your head at Stanley and during the Stanley Cup playoffs and things like that. I mean, that place could get really, really loud.
Yeah,
it was a lot of fun.
I think my only sports claim to fame as far as all of that kind of like throwback stuff is I think I saw a Colorado Zephyrs baseball game.
That's right.
Once.
They used to, I think a big crowd for a Zephyrs game at the old Mile High was about 1,000.
Yeah. Something
that
like
was, that was actually a big crowd there. Watched plenty of that.
And those weird movable stands that they had.
That's right. The left field stands would move in and out. Yeah.
Yeah. That was a project.
Good times. Oh my goodness. Good times.
I think the only thing that I really saw or was ever there for that was really impressive for at Mile High was when Pink Floyd played there and I worked security.
Lots of lasers, right?
Yeah, lots of lasers. And, you know, any show that thinks that I'm good for security is probably not too dangerous of a show.
That's a different quality show. Yeah.
That was a pre 9/11 show. We'll put it that way.
I hear
no
you.
One's looking at me and going, okay, that guy's going to stop a whole lot of things.
I'm not messing with that guy. We're safe. We're safe with James Tate Blake Grayling here.
Hey, speaking of pointless, this is episode 97 of the Avs Hockey Podcast. You're home for almost everything Avs. And Jay, who wore 97 for the Avs?
We actually have one this time. It was Per Ledeen back in 2008, 2009. And I think you replied the same way I did when I saw the stats, is that he came in with a lot of hype. He was one of the top, I guess, European players that came in. And he only played in 3 games total for the Avalanche, had 2 shots and 2 penalty minutes. And I think he's 37 now, and he's still playing professionally in Austria. So he did do a little something, but he came up. He is the only Avalanche player in history to wear 97. I think we're actually out of numbers now, so I don't know what we'll do for 98 and so on, but we'll figure something out.
Yeah, it kind of reminds me of Kolesnik, Vitali Kolesnik, because he he played, I think it was 5 games for the Avs, and then he went he left the AHL and went overseas, and he became the goalie for Kazakhstan.
That's right.
And so he played. He played Olympics and a lot of international. So yeah, he's still around, I believe.
I wonder if he knows Borat. Just things I wonder, you know.
You and me both.
I don't know.
Him and Mike Keenan, who actually today just got fired from his from his Russian coaching gig. He's getting fired from his Russian coaching gig, being hired as an advisor to the team, and he's getting his Russian national citizenship so that he can coach the Russian national team.
Yes.
Yeah. I think he pretty much is giving a middle finger to the NHL.
Good old Mike Keenan. Will, welcome to the show, man.
Thanks, buddy. I'm really stoked to be here. It's been listening to you guys for a long time.
Absolutely. So. I was just going to say that. I mean, Will, we all of us go back a pretty long ways with the show. So it's cool that
I believe the first episode I listened to was I think it was right after the San Jose series. Mm. So that was the 08-09 season.
Oh wow. Okay.
So it's been nice. It's been good.
Was that what Jay was still doing it on his own at that point, right?
I think you might have joined shortly after that, but I think so.
I think that was that kind of transition, but we appreciate the support and happy to have you. Should we talk some hockey, guys?
Let's talk some hockey.
At least some more hockey. So, what we like to do, we like to just kind of pick up where we left off since our last show, and we did that during the offseason a little bit, so we've got some catching up to do. We can start on Monday, September 21st, where the Avalanche and the NHL and the Red Wings had a little press conference at Coors Field. The owner of the Rockies, or the main owner of the Rockies, Dick Montfort, referred to Coors Field as Coors Stadium, which is very Rockies. So very nice on that one. It was the official quote-unquote announcement for the game that'll be on February 27th. There was a surprise jersey unveiling. Usually they get leaks. There was a supposed leak of the jersey with the kind of the sash-looking thing across the front, and that wasn't anything that the Avalanche jerseys are going to look like during the stadium series game. So there was that. Thoughts on the jerseys, guys? You know, we talk jerseys here. So what do you think?
I liked it. I thought it was, it looked a little simplistic, but at the same time, if this is going to be worn in the stadium series, you got to be able to see what's going on from far away. Yeah. the numbers looked great. They were big enough for you to be able to see and just very, very simple. I'm sure that the C that was on the front, it kind of looked like somebody just did an iron on for a rec league jersey. I'm sure that's going to change to a regular, you know, the Avalanche style Captain C, but
I think that
I really liked it. Yeah.
Yeah. I liked him too. I think, I definitely want to see him put together with the whole entire uniform. But I hadn't thought about that, to your point, with the numbers being on the arms really big. Because mm-hmm. I immediately think of the Kings stadium jerseys where it's just huge.
And the Sharks.
That makes a lot of sense now you think of it that way.
Yeah, the Sharks ones too. I don't think they ever kind of announced that before. I was like, what are these huge numbers for? But I think it was the first announcement to actually say that those big numbers on the sleeves, that's what they're there for. Everybody's going to be a little further away and you want to see who's who. So it makes sense to me. So, I mean, Eric Johnson tweeted almost right away. He said, man, that number on the sleeves is as big as your head. He tweeted that at Gabe Landeskog, but yeah, I think they look pretty good. I like that the leak was wrong. I like that they were able to keep things under wraps because that's really tough to do these days. So that was kind of cool. I had no idea they were going to do jerseys, and I like jerseys, as everybody knows.
Now, Will mentioned the Kings jerseys that they wore for their stadium series. And I'm hoping that the Avalanche don't go the route of the Kings where they wore those diaper-looking hockey pants, the white hockey pants.
Were they?
That was a horrible, horrible look.
Yeah, I'm hoping so, too.
So I'm hoping that the Avs stay pretty traditional that way.
Yeah, diaper was the first thing I thought of when I saw those. What are you guys thinking?
Oh, please don't do that.
So hopefully they don't. Yeah, hopefully they don't go that route.
Yeah.
Even the burgundy or something like the blueberry would be better than what we saw with the Kings.
Exactly. That was just, I'm definitely with Will, too. I mean, a jersey's a jersey, and Landeskog kind of throwing that over his shirt and tie is one thing, but the whole ensemble all put together is a totally different story. So hopefully they look good and they play pretty well, and there's that. So jerseys.
I would respect them more if they wore Cooperalls than those white things.
Ooh, that's not a bad idea.
Ooh. And for anybody out there who doesn't know what a Cooperall is,
look it up.
Google Cooperall. you know, just in case, keep Google image search to a safe search. You never know. There might be something we don't know about out there, but that's my disclaimer.
Turn on that Google safe.
Cooperalls were fairly awful and fairly amazing.
Yeah, and but when you say Cooperalls, people know what you're talking about for the most part. I like it. I had some that I played with when I was playing hockey down at DU. Good old Cooperalls.
Nice.
Mm-hmm. All right, we're moving on. Was it the next day? Yeah, Tuesday, September 22nd, the Avalanche signed defenseman Eric Johnson to a 7-year deal worth $42 million. They asked him about it. He said, don't talk to me about something. And it was actually when he's done with this contract, he's going to be 35 years old. And he was talking about playing with Keith Tkachuk when Tkachuk was with the Blues towards the end of his career, and I guess EJ doesn't want to get old anytime soon. EJ also said, I'm sure that when I'm that age, when I finish this contract here, after we've won a few Stanley Cups, that there's going to be some young 18-year-old looking at me and saying, look at that old guy. I like the signing. I think he likes it here. I think it's good for the team. We've had some different thoughts on EJ as a player as a whole and whether he's worth that, but I don't think there's a whole lot to be disappointed about with this. I've liked what he's brought so far this season and when he was healthy last season. And what do you guys think of the new deal for EJ?
I like it. I mean, when you compare it to other guys, I think it's, I mean, you could call it a little high or maybe a couple years too long, but overall, I mean, what are you going to do? So I thought it was a really good signing. And when you compare it to somebody like Duncan Keith, who was signed before the lockout, right? So they got him at something like 5.5, which is crazy.
Yep.
So when you look at it like that, so it's not too bad post lockout.
Yeah, I thought it was fine. I mean, the Avs are coming off of basically losing Stastny to free agency. They don't want to lose another guy, another key component to the free agency.
Right.
They don't want to go through another situation where, you know, a Ryan O'Reilly situation where they have to negotiate and maybe play a little bit of hardball. They get the guy locked up. And my thing with John, one of the things I have with Johnson is that, you know, the guy was drafted number one overall. He then has to go straight to the NHL, which is a difficult position to be in for any defenseman, for any player, you know, and the Avs have a lot of guys who did not spend any time in the minors. But, you know, Johnson is criticized oftentimes for because of that number one overall status. You know, if he would have been picked number five or number eight, I don't think he would have gotten the criticism and the looks that he's gotten.
Yeah.
But, you know, I think he's worked out a lot better than I certainly was expecting at first. And I think he's matured into the role that he's in right now. I think it's fine, you know?
Yeah. He's definitely coming into his own. It's really cool to watch him get a little more comfortable and score some hockey pucks. Mm-hmm. And, he plays that physical game too. I mean, I think if he would have finished his check on Corey Perry last night, he would have gotten a call just like Tyson Berry got today. But he didn't. I think it was more the referee's knee. I don't know if you guys saw the replay. You guys were there last night. We'll talk a little bit more about that. But yeah, he hit Perry from behind. Perry turned away from him, but he didn't finish his check or drive him into the boards or anything. He picked up a 2-minute minor, and I'm sure the Ducks fans really didn't like that because it was Corey Perry. But I like his physical game. Just hoping he stays a little healthier, which I'm sure he thinks the same thing. And I think he's someone you can build around, and those guys are kind of tough to find. It's been cool to watch him grow as a player.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I was kind of I said it before, I'll say it again, you know, sometimes his brain works a little faster than his feet can,
yeah.
But, you know, he's getting better with experience.
That's right.
And if you keep him around for a little while longer, great. And it's also a pretty, you know, it's pretty tradable money. If they absolutely needed to, they could make a trade if they had to.
Yeah.
But right now, why bother?
I agree.
Yeah, no, that's a good point. Yeah. And he has been trending up the last few years since Waz took over as coach. So, hey, maybe in a couple of years, that might be a real big bargain.
Mm-hmm.
That's right. Well, we'll see what happens. I mean, he put us some serious numbers last year before he hurt his knee and we never saw him again. And looks like he's not really missing a step so far this season. So hopefully he can keep that going. Wednesday, September 30th, the roster started to take shape and things really started to move. There were some moves before this. They were just kind of moving some guys around and there was really no shocking parts to that. But Wednesday, September 30th, there was some moves that I'm not sure everybody was necessarily expecting or waiting for. But I wasn't surprised to see these moves, but I was very interested that the Avalanche were willing to eat some of the salaries that they had signed the year before. So Wednesday, September 30th, Marc-Andre Cliche, Patrick Bortolo, and Zach Redmond were all sent to San Antonio to play for the Rampage in the AHL. And that means the Avalanche were willing to eat almost $2.5 million worth of contracts to send those guys down. And also Jesse Winchester, Patrick Waugh had addressed this situation. He's still nowhere near playing and it doesn't look like he's going to be playing really anytime soon when actually towards the end of last season looked like he was going to play. So Cliche, Bortolo and Redmond, all sent down, they had one way contracts as well. So they were available on waivers. Nobody picked them up. And I'm not sure if we'll see them again, depending on injuries and things like that. But I was really curious to see that the Avalanche were willing to eat those contracts so they can make room for guys that were really stepping up their game. So thoughts on the roster moves? Those were our biggest roster moves for sure. Anybody you guys are particularly going to miss out of those three?
For me, it's going to be Bortolo, actually. It's almost kind of sad to say it, but again, with so many... With McLeod getting in so many fights last season, I really thought that the return of Patrick Bortolo would kind of ease that pressure on him. But as more and more fighting is phased out of the game, as more teams are trying to roll four lines that are a little more skilled, even if they are tough.
That's right.
I was a little surprised at Bortolo. The other two, no surprise at all. There have been enough additions to the team that there was going to be competition. Plenty of competition. And I'm not surprised at all that those guys were sent down.
Yeah. I mean, with Bortolo, I think we've seen the difference in the fourth line for the Avalanche already. You almost have to move towards the skill guys. It's there's not a lot of room in this game anymore for a guy like Bortolo, who is, I don't even know if you'd call him a one-way player. He's just a tough guy and he can skate just well enough. And it seems like they could go with a Jack Skilly or somebody like that who can provide a little more offense and provide a little more in a lot of different situations. And, you know, it's probably. Yeah,
and I didn't get a chance to see him, but the guy broke his kneecap. I mean, that's got to put a little bit of a hamper on your skating. And it's not like he was a great skater anyways.
That's true. And I had heard he didn't look quite right. I didn't get a chance to watch any of the preseason activity as far as practices and everything. But from what I had heard from people that had been there is that he still didn't look quite right. And, yeah, it's too bad. But, I mean, hopefully there's still room for him. And, obviously people are going to get hurt throughout the year, and maybe we'll see him again. And that's probably got to be a pretty, you know, crappy feeling for guys like that who are on one way deals and they get that call, just like maybe a rookie would get. But this is a business, and I think we've all seen examples like this, and hopefully they do well down there and add some depth to San Antonio.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I think, Patrick Wall was pointing out that, the notion that the third or fourth line could potentially go against the opposing team's first or second line. Yep. And I don't know if Bordalo was on that fourth line, we'd have that option.
I don't think
so. Not that it necessarily is an option, but I like what I've been seeing so far out of the fourth line.
Absolutely. It's really Mark Rycroft has called it the best fourth line in hockey, and it's hard to argue with that so far with the production you've seen out of those guys. And so that's right. That's really nice to see, and it's good to see some new faces. A lot of turnover. I think a third of the team turned over from last season. It's good to see some changes. It's good to not just get the company line from the team, like, well, we're just building for the future and things like that, when last year was obviously a struggle, especially early. So they made some changes and are looking for different things. And you can't fault a team for doing that. All right. Thursday, October 1st, you guys went to the preseason game. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
How was that? How did everything look? I mean, James, you made it easier by wearing your J.S. Jaguar jersey, so everybody was giving you hugs, right?
Yeah, exactly. And Meg, my girlfriend, was wearing her Solani Avs jersey.
Oh.
So yeah, nobody was giving us the business.
Done deal, that, right there.
The football ref once said, "Yeah,
well done, sir."
I'll tell you, it's a lot. I've been to the only other. I haven't been to a Kings game other than Frozen Fury, which is pretty much a LA Kings home game, preseason game. And wearing my Avs jersey there, you get abuse. There is definitely a lot of abuse in Anaheim. It is friendly ribbing. They are kind of the friendly confines. It's not bad at all.
That's cool. I like that. Will, you got to give your people props on that one. That's pretty cool.
Yeah, I do all the time. Well, they're used to dealing with Kings fans.
So Avs fans are just like friends. They like it. Again, you guys are just getting hugs all over the place. How was 3-on-3 overtime? I haven't seen, obviously the Avs haven't played in one. Was that the one where Duchesne got the tip to win it, quote unquote, win it?
Yeah. He's the one that got the one where they lost and won. Yeah.
Yeah.
No, it's a lot of fun to watch. And you know, I'm sure at some point the coaches are going to figure something out, but right now it's a lot of fun. It's some shimmy going on out there.
Awesome. I love it.
Yeah, no, it's 3-on-3. It is very wide open. Guys don't quite know exactly where they're supposed to go, but at the same time, what you see them doing is looking for lanes. They're looking for passing lanes. And it's just so hard for the people, for the defensive side, to keep up and to close off those lanes. So you see a ton of passing. You see things like cycling that's happening up by the points rather than down low in the corners. And people are just looking for any kind of outlet, and they show up. Those outlets just show up all over the place.
It's like
I think that we're going to, as it goes on, we're going to see a lot less of the breakaways.
Sure.
You know, but other than that, I think it's going to be a lot of movement. I think people, I love it. I think it's fun.
I'm excited to see the McKinnons and the Matt Duchesnes of the world with that much open ice, to just kind of see them just go and leave people in the dust and see what happens. I was speaking of McNichols and back in the day as well, we're going to 20th anniversary stuff here in a little bit as well, but can you imagine like a Sakic Forsberg and say Oza Lynch back in the day, 3-on-3, would you like to face those guys?
Oh man,
it'd be a good time.
That would be tough.
It'd be like,
that would be tough. I wonder how much time Foot would spend out there, because he's, you know, he wasn't exactly there to be the speedy.
No,
the speedy guy. He was the tough guy.
Not at all. I wonder if Law would just be like, why don't you guys just go skate? Because it's not like you're gonna hold Ozalinch back. He's just gonna go whenever he feels like it. So you guys just go. I got this end of the ice. Just, I mean, even Patrick Law, we saw him stick handle some stuff too. So you never know what might happen, but. who knows? We can always dream, though. All right, Monday, October 5th, the Avalanche release Curtis Glencross. James might have the reason why.
I don't know if I'm going to go that insider, but
throw it at him. Give it to him, James. You got the inside info. Go.
We were at that Ducks preseason game, and I can't remember which period was ending. It was either the first or the second. Going into there was probably like 12, 13 seconds left, and the Avs have the puck, carrying the puck into the zone. And there's only a little bit of time left. Glencross, rather than going to the front of the net, he swoops wide, the person carrying the puck in slows up a little, giving somebody time to get to the front of the net. Well, Glencross kind of just swoops wide, doesn't go to the front of the net, doesn't really make anything happen, and he's the only other guy in there. You're thinking, you know, dude, this is not how you keep the play going. This is not how you make an opportunity happen. And that right, that one play, just watching him go wide to the boards and not go anywhere near the net, I just thought, that I don't think that's going to sit too well. And not after all the time that Patrick Waugh spent last season trying to get people to go to the front of the net.
And it obviously didn't. So he was gone. They released him from his tryout. That got the Avalanche roster down to 25. And then the next day, everything had to be taken care of. October 6th, and the Avalanche finalized their roster for opening night. Jack Skilly was signed to a one-year, two-way deal worth $675,000 in the NHL. And if he is sent to the AHL eventually, he would make $150,000. He was guaranteed $250,000, which is a good neighborhood. That's all from Chris Johnston, reporter Chris on Twitter. And Dennis Everberg was reassigned to San Antonio. He was the last guy to go. So the Avalanche had their roster all set. Mikko Rantanen makes the Avalanche roster. You guys already know that already. He becomes the fifth 18-year-old to play for the Avalanche since the franchise relocated. The others were McKinnon, Duchesne, Landeskog, and Ryan O'Reilly. So the Avalanche getting a little bit younger. And I like what I've seen from Skilly so far. He scored last night. Seems like a great pickup for a great price. And what do you guys think of Skilly or Rantanen so far?
Oh, I mean, Skilly was definitely playing to stay in training camp. And you know, he accepts his role and he you know, takes it, you know, the whole nine yards. As far as Rantanen goes, you know, I think the difference between him and the other 18-year-olds that have come into the team, he's, you know, used to playing with men for, what, 3 years?
Yeah, something like that, yeah.
Overseas. So it definitely looks like he's comfortable playing with guys at that size, you know, being an 18-year-old.
Yeah, I've got nothing special to add to that. Skilly looks really good. He's making things happen. He's making plays happen, which I think that coming from, I think he was with the Blue Jackets. I don't think anybody really expected him to do anything. It was kind of a shock that he was on a tryout with the.
Obviously, I don't. He wasn't on a tryout already with anybody. Yeah, he does.
Yeah. And now, and with Rantanen, I mean, he's been good. He's just, you know, I think he was playing up front with, Duchesne and, Aginla last night.
Yeah.
And, he looked pretty good. That line right now isn't making much happen. And part of that is Duchesne, and maybe part of that is Rantanen also. It's, you know, I think they're all just trying to push through, the opposition rather than play around them.
Yeah.
And it's going to be interesting to see what happens with them. I wouldn't be surprised to see them broken up a little bit soon.
Yeah.
But all those guys that you mentioned also, you know, with Rantanen, McKinnon, Duchesne, Landeskog, and O'Reilly, they all, none of them spent any time in the minors. And that continues to be an evolving thing with this team is that, what happens with all the guys who didn't spend any time maturing in the minors.
Yeah, that was one of the trivia questions last night on Altitude. There's seven guys on the Avalanche roster that never played in the minor leagues. I thought it was four. Yep. Four was one of the options. I could easily come up with four, but I think I forgot Rantanen as well. So that's five, and there was two others that never played minor league hockey. So
Aginla was one of them.
Okay,
and
so that's six.
It wasn't. Yeah, it wasn't Johnson. Johnson played one game in Peoria.
Oh, that's right. He did. Okay.
Yeah. So I can't think of who the other one would have been.
I don't
might have been Varlamov.
They never said, and they never gave the answer. They never, I think, listed all seven players, but they said seven was the number. So there it is.
Yeah, I'm guessing Varley, because, you know, why would he play down because he came, I think he came straight from Russia.
Exactly.
And yeah. And then Aginla, he never did.
I've always thought, what is it like to be a young player like a MacKinnon, Duchesne, Landeskog, Rantanen, you know, the list of those guys where you've never really struggled at all playing this game. And then all of a sudden you're on the largest stage in the world playing with the best players in the world. And then you're expected to go mm-hmm. out there and just tear things up as an 18-year-old. And it's got to take a pretty special player with a lot of skills and a lot of maturity to be able to do that. I wonder as well, I mean, you've got Aginla, who is plenty old enough to be Rantanen's like dad playing on his same line. I mean, like he and Tange have got to be like, what's happening there, youngster? Get off my lawn.
Yeah. You know, I wrote about it a little bit actually on my blog, and Avs fans are not going to want to hear this, but you know, looking at all those guys who didn't spend any time in the minors, and the team that reminds me of is the Oilers. And nobody, you know, nobody likes that because the Oilers, they kind of have been the team, you know, the worst team in the league for a long time. And, you know, with a league that has the Toronto Maple Leafs, that's saying something.
That's right.
But, it's a similar makeup. It's those, they, you have the older guys that you try and, you know, the veterans that you keep a hold of to try and, keep a hold on things. But then you have a lot of guys who have to make that leap from juniors to the pros, you know, and that's a difficult leap. You know, you were crashing against guys who are kids, and now you're crashing into men who are big and trying to drive through you. You have, you know, maybe you were if you were the star on your junior team, maybe you had one, maybe two guys that you could pass to. After that, no, you know, you had defensemen who couldn't keep up with you. Now you've got manly defensemen who can knock you down. It's a transition, and those guys just didn't go through that either with the Oilers. You've got Yakupov, you've got Nugent Hopkins, you've got Hall, and now you've got McDavid, and you've got several others with them too. With the Avs, you've got these guys, and it's kind of it's not the greatest path. If you're picked number one or number two overall, your team needs you, so you're going to the NHL. But you know, there's a reason that the minor leagues are there, and it's not just so that there's a system to fill out.
Yeah,
someone like Domi comes to mind, you know?
Yeah.
He wasn't happy last season being sent down, but he's having a great start so far with Phoenix.
Yeah,
he is.
So,
he is.
The other guy that I think of actually is Tyler Seguin, who, you know, he's a skilled player, and he plays at the NHL level, but he's also had maturity issues.
Mm-hmm.
And would he have had those maturity issues if he had to be more accountable in that system, or, you know, if he wasn't just handed the NHL?
Right.
So
yeah, being one of those top picks really, it affords you some time as well. It really, a team has to be patient with you because they paid you a fair amount of money, and, you know, a lot of other players don't get that luxury. So you do get some breaks that some other people wouldn't, but that's also leads to some of the pressure that might be building on you as an 18-year-old, and all of a sudden you're on this huge stage and people are tearing you apart, and literally and figuratively. And it's interesting to see how each guy deals with it. Landeskog, I think, has made the transition really, really well. He's obviously the captain already, and he doesn't play. I don't think he's ever played as young as he was. But you've got a guy like Duchesne. I think he still has a hard time redefining his game for the NHL when in juniors his all that stuff worked, and he could shake defensemen and he could just do that pivot and get all kinds of space. And it's been interesting to see Duchesne kind of deal with that. And I think he's still working with it because he's used to scoring. That's what he does. He's not a distributor. He's not a grinder. He won't play a physical game. It's just not how he plays. And that's, you know, we're four games in and Duchesne does not have a point yet.
Yeah. Well, and also, I mean, one last point on this is, you know, you look at the Pierre Lacroix era of the Avalanche, and that era was not built through the minors. It wasn't really built through the draft. It was built through trades to keep people playing with the guys that they already had. And once those guys started to go away after that first, that 04-05 lockout, when Forsberg went away, when Sakic was getting older, when Foote went away, when Hainaut went away, and the playing field was leveled as far as the salary cap was concerned, they had to take the minor leagues seriously. And as they fell off, then they get these great top picks, which is wonderful, but those guys aren't going to the minor leagues also. And so it's kind of an interesting comparison as to the where they are now versus where they were and how the Avalanche was built versus how they are built.
Very true. Great point. Let's see. Yep. With Skilly signed, the Avalanche enter the season at a little under $9 million under the cap. So they still, we talked about this before, they still have McKinnon's bridge deal. They have Barry to look at, and EJ is locked up. So they do have some money to sign those guys if that's what they choose to do, but then they also have some money to go get free agents if they'd like to do that as well. So that'll be interesting. Mm-hmm. Thank you, General Fanager, for their information. Seems like one of the go-to sites after, what was the site again? What was the last one that we used all the time? I can't even remember.
Cap Geek,
yes. We obviously can't use that anymore, sadly. So let's get into the season. It was hockey time in the Mile High City. The Avalanche started their first three games at home, like we had talked about. October 8th against the Wild, the Avalanche scored in the first period, so that was fun. They actually scored three goals in the first period. They had a 3-1 and a 4-1, 3-0 and a 4-1 lead, and then they blew it in the third period, and everybody freaked out. So one of the, like, that's new. Mention from one source was the Avalanche's season isn't lost despite the collapse against Minnesota. It was one period in the very first game of the year. That was like, I read that and it was like, so we need to cancel the rest of the season. Maybe is that what we need to do? James, go ahead. Is it a little too early for this or what?
Oh, it's so too early. I mean,
you sure?
I'm speculating.
You're not convinced.
Pure speculation. Huh? Yeah. There are 243 periods of hockey after that. This was one of them.
One
that did not go well.
It was one. It was ugly.
And if the Avs are so fragile that a loss to Minnesota is the end of the season, come on.
I can imagine Wah coming in the room after the third period and be like, nice season, guys. Sorry, this just isn't going to work out.
Sorry, guys. Let's just practice on our skating and see what happens. You know, we'll get them next season.
Good try, guys. So it did. I mean, you got the Zach Parise hat trick. I mean, it was all the things that we, as Avalanche fans, do not like about the Wild, but they showed a lot of heart. The Wild played well. Whatever was said in between the second and the third period was great. You know, one thing I did like is John Mitchell scored the fourth goal in the second period after the Wild made it 3-1. And that was kind of a goal the Avalanche didn't get last year for the most part. They didn't get that battle back goal that it was like, oh boy, here we go again. It's 3-1. They're going to give up the next goal or two. They came back within a minute or two of when the Wild scored that goal. And, you know, also along those lines with John Mitchell, he scored a goal in the first game of the season for the Avs, and in the last 4 years he's been with the Avs. So that's from Brendan McNicholas. Got a ton of his tweets, though. John Mitchell has looked great so far this season, and he's one of the reasons the Avalanche have won a couple games so far. So that was the first game. The next day, the Avalanche hosted a little, practice at Pepsi Center. Patrick Waugh came out, and he kind of explained what practice is all about and what they're going to work on, and they also unveiled their new hoodies, right?
The new hoodies.
A small snafu on them is that the Altitude Authentic store downstairs, when they actually weren't available when everybody walked in, but when it was time to leave, they actually had the jerseys out, and the nameplates were straight on them when they actually should have been curved. So we already have jersey controversy, which is really interesting. I know, we can't have this. This is unacceptable.
So first the Avalanche unveil the Stadium Series jersey.
Yes.
Which everybody thinks, okay, well, I guess they aren't going to do that third jersey that got leaked on shop.nhl.com. And then they unveil the third jersey, which is the one that got leaked on shop.nhl.com.
Yeah, so I wonder
a little bit of a switcheroo there.
That was interesting. So what do you guys think of the jerseys?
They look like hoodies.
That's it.
We were at the Ducks game last night. Where the Avs beat the Ducks 3-0. Well, that happened. And
half of me doesn't like it. Half of me loves it.
But there was a woman who was wearing a Ducks hoodie that had those same sleeves, those same stripes on the sleeves, and same look, very similar thing. And I said, look, it's the Avs third jersey hoodie. And Will's like, yeah.
I saw that, and I'm like, here comes tape leg.
Interesting.
I mean, I haven't seen them in person yet. The ultimate test is going to be, are they better than the blueberries? And you've seen them in person, Jay. So are they better than the blueberries?
It's hard to say. You know how I am.
Oh.
No, it's hard. It's hard to say. You know what I do miss? I miss something on the other shoulder. That one shoulder has the Colorado flag on it. I need something on the other shoulder to kind of balance things out. And it's not balanced and it kind of throws my eye off. But I'm not a designer or anything like that.
You mean maybe something like the actual Avs logo?
Yeah, something like that.
That's exactly what I thought.
You know, the thing about the Avs logo, though, is that it's not that blue. It's not that navy blue. It's the kind of that royal blue. So I wonder if that's why they didn't put it on there. I think it would look pretty good on there. But I also have
at the same time, the Colorado flag doesn't have that burgundy that they have on the Stadium Series jersey. Yeah. So.
Hey, I think I have a first for our show. Although people aren't going to hear this. They're not going to hear this until we obviously get it posted, which will be a couple of days. But I don't see anything on the Twitter machine that I'm looking right now. But I just got something from ESPN that says Tyson Barrie has been suspended for 3 games for his hit on Despray last night. We've never had breaking news on the show. So that's fun. I don't know what to do with breaking news.
Yep, NBC's Pro Hockey Talk says it too. Avs Barrie suspended 3 games for a late high hit on Dupree.
There you go.
Well, on one hand, he's so short he has to leap up just to meet shoulders.
he did leave his feet, but I think he almost has to. Isn't that a rule? Like he has to, but yeah, he put that. Yeah. They actually had a camera angle that was about 2 feet from the hit, and it was pretty nasty. So. You know, there's always the slow-mos that everybody can look at and things like that, but they actually had, you could see that his shoulder hit his head outright the very first contact that was made. So that's going to, especially when a guy gets hurt, they put him on, the Ducks player on the IR today. That's how kind of badly he was hurt. So there it is. But yeah, breaking news for...
Wow.
You know, things people were already know by the time they listened to the show, but that's cool. All
right. You heard it here first after everybody else told you.
That's right. Breaking news ish. All right. The Avalanche continued with the season on October 10th against the Stars. They get scored on early. So it was kind of that, oh boy, here we go again. The season's over. Oh no. The Avalanche were down 3-1. With about 9 minutes left in the second period and then the start of the third period, they were tied 3-3, power play goals. As far as I think last night, even going into last night, the Avalanche were the number one ranked power play in the National Hockey League. I like to hear that.
Mm.
I like saying things like that. The Avalanche score 2 in the second to tie it up and then score 3 in the third. Gabriel Landeskog goes off and was awesome. What we really like to see, but that was a dominant period by the Avalanche. What else? Any thoughts on that game? I thought it was, I got that notification. I wasn't watching live, at least the beginning when I saw that early goal, I was like, oh boy, here we go. And I'm glad that I'm glad that didn't happen.
It's nice to see them bounce back after, a tough start, given what happened in the opener. So it's nice to see them bounce back and get things tied up. So that's the first thing that stuck out to me. Of course, I was jumping on the couch.
there's that.
Yeah, for me, it's, as much as people want to read into the meltdown of the Avs, then how much can you read into this also? The takeaway for me from this was that the Avs couldn't score in the preseason, and that was the preseason.
Yeah.
And the Avs come back and they have two high scoring games, even though they lose to the Wild in the first game, they have a really good game here. And also, this is also a Stars team that's a little bit fragile. They've got Niemi in goal and he just came in from the Sharks, so they're still getting used to him. The takeaway that I want to see from this is just the positive that they're actually scoring, which they weren't before.
Yeah.
And, take the 2 points and call it art. Don't try and make this a huge thing because, don't say, hey, look at what they did. Now they should be able to do that all the time. Just see what happens.
Everybody was freaking out coming into the season. So it's good to kind of put an end to that. The meltdown.
Yeah, it definitely tempers things.
Yeah. It's good to see that. Gabriel Landeskog set a career high with 4 points, 2 goals, and 2 assists. And he also became the first Avalanche player with 4 points in a game since December 2013. That was Paul Stastny against the Stars as well. So good for him. A new career high for Gabriel Landeskog, and he has started the season off right. We always like to see that.
Good job there.
That's right.
Leading by example.
What's that?
Leading by example.
Yes, we always like to see that, especially from the captain. October 14th, the Avalanche continued at Pepsi Center. This was their third game of the season at home, and it was ugly. And the Avalanche, they were down 5-0 at one point. They lose 6-2. Patrick Waugh's angry. People like angry Patrick Waugh. Somehow that they get really impressed that it shows that he cares or something. I think he cares either way. But did you guys see him kind of storm out of the press conference?
I did. Yeah. Wasn't too happy.
No, he was.
I did not. But
oh, you didn't see
I'm
it.
I am a fan of. I did not see it. I didn't watch it. But because the sad part for me is I watch on the computer.
Oh, and, that's right.
And
that's right.
Yeah, and they as soon as the game is over, you get a little screen that says the game is over, and you're done. Thank you very much for playing.
You're no longer interested. Thanks for playing.
You are no longer. We're not going to show you anything more. You got exactly what you paid for. Now go.
Take that. Get off my lawn.
I am okay with angry Patrick Waugh. I know that it's great to have the more even keel Patrick Waugh, and I generally like the more even keel Patrick Waugh. But these are hockey players, and hockey players sometimes need to be reminded, hey, you're here to do a gig, and you're here to play, and you're here to earn your money. And people are coming to see this. You know, quit screwing around out there. And for some reason, hockey players tend to need that reminder. I don't always know why. It just seems like you should be able to go out there and know, you know, you're on this stage, do it. But sometimes coaches have to get mad. I don't want to see him do it all the time, but when it's time and when guys need to be held accountable, yeah, I want to see a little bit of fieriness.
Yeah, you know, and everyone's going to have a bad game, but you know, you can always, there's no excuse for not working hard. And that was sort of his major point with that press conference.
That was definitely what he said. He was like, this is unacceptable in front of our crowd. And I'm sure he addressed it. I think what happened is they started asking him questions and he was ticked. And then there was just kind of a maybe 3 or 4 second pause. And he was just like, I'm gone. He's like, we were awful. I'm done. And I think Terry Fry, one of the writers for the Denver Post that writes for the Avalanche and travels with them some of the time, he said it was kind of the reporter's fault as well for not having a good pace to the questions because Patrick Waugh didn't want to play that game. So, the Avalanche.
Did you see the Serena Williams interview? Yeah. I think it was after the U.S. Open after she beat her sister.
Yeah. I did.
Yeah. Oh, it was great. Will's shaking his head. No. she basically, they're asking her questions and she's just, yeah, no, you know, blah, blah, blah. And one of the guys said, you just won and, you know, you don't seem very happy. And she said, it's 11 o'clock and I got to go to bed because I got to get up in the morning and I'm playing tomorrow. So I don't want to be here.
No, I don't want to talk. I don't want to talk to you guys. And,
yeah. And it was great because it's like, yeah, this may be part of her job to sit there and do the questions, but they have to deal with a lot of other stuff too. It was so nice to see that, honestly.
Yeah, she said something about too. It's the same tired questions every time I'm here. It's interesting to see the human side because I know Patrick Waugh plays that game. He knows how to deal with the press, you know, in good times and in tough times. And it's good to see that human side come out. Good for him. You know, I don't think the press was real happy about it, but I think they totally understood. And that's good enough.
Yeah. And who cares if they're not happy?
Yeah.
I mean,
nope.
You know, if you have a coach that like if Patrick Waugh could actually teach John Tortorella a thing or two about acting human, you know that it's okay that he goes off every once in a while.
Absolutely.
You know, everybody was expecting Waugh to be a monster. He's not a monster. Can we move on from that?
There you go.
Know? And if the guy has to get angry to get his guys, you know, fired up, especially after, you know, a couple of years of working with them and they should know this is not an acceptable level, not to for Waugh, not for Sakic, not for the fans, not for anybody. And it shouldn't be for them. And it's nice just to see somebody say, you're accountable for this. We're holding you accountable for this.
Yeah, he's got it in him. I think Waugh plays that role of coach, quote unquote, coach very well. I think he'd like to be a little more fired up than that. And I'm sure he is in front of the team at times as well, but he does that well. So And then the game last night, you guys were there. Reto Berra looks comfortable, 35 save shutout. Nathan MacKinnon, early goal. Jack Skilly scores his first. John Mitchell continues his streak. He has 4 goals in 4 games. What did you guys think about last night? I heard that the Ducks fans, literally, I heard that they were not very happy with what was with what was going on. So, Will, were you booing? Were you booing your other 50% team, or what?
Whenever they play each other, I root for overtime, and whoever needs the points more, that's why I went to win overtime.
Oh, nice! That's a good place to be. I like that.
Yeah.
But I heard, the fans are losing patience pretty quickly. Yeah.
You could say that, but they know they're going to make the playoffs, but it's kind of frustrating when they're capable of so much more.
Sure.
But I mean, on the other side of that coin, the Avs, they took it to them, and that goal early really, really helped the Avs.
Yeah.
Although it was pretty lopsided with the shots early on after that.
Yeah.
But you could definitely see the momentum carried on.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. No, it kind of reminded me a little bit of that Chicago Blackhawks game. I believe, true. Was it last season where they scored 2 really early and then the Blackhawks just poured on the shots and poured on the shots?
It was.
The Ducks really brought it after that first goal, yep. And the Avs weathered the storm. Reto Berra, the thing with him is he looked really, normally he looks really bouncy. He looks really uncomfortable in net, at least he has recently. It's you put him in net and he's jumping all over the place and he seems really skittish. But last night he seemed really comfortable. He just kind of sat, you know, when the play was going on, he tracked it well. He was smooth. He didn't have those jitters that you see. It was a different Reto Berra last night than we saw a lot of the season when he would be in those brief times that he was actually put in net.
Yeah. And he was sticky. He gobbled up the puck, mm-hmm. You know, didn't let very many rebounds happen too.
Yeah.
Which, you know, happens, which could be detrimental to him in the past as we've seen.
Yeah,
that's true.
The other thing I saw with the Avs last night, when we were talking, I remember we were talking about this a little bit in the preseason, was how much dump and chase they would do.
Mm-hmm.
And last night there was a lot more carrying the puck into the zone, carrying it in with people with you, not just one guy going in, a couple guys following you, so that 4 Ducks would collapse around. Instead, it was a few people hit the line at the same time, mm-hmm. spreading the Ducks defense out. There were even a couple of times, I remember there was a 4-on-2 at one point in favor of the Avs. I was shocked.
Yeah.
You didn't see that very much last season.
Nope.
Yeah. I like it. They look good against a great hockey team, against a desperate hockey team that has scored what, 1 goal in 4 games now. And that was by a defenseman. Am I right with that?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Speaking of Reto Berra, going back to him, as posted by Brendan McNicholas, the Avalanche is one of the media relations guy. Reto Berra posted his first NHL shutout in his final start last season and got his second in his first start of this season. And his shutout streak is now at almost 190 minutes. I think that's kind of an underrated thing. A lot of Avalanche fans are still having a hard time with Reto Berra and how he started with the team. And I think he could have easily been one of those guys that had been sent down to San Antonio, and you could bring Pickard up as good as Pickard looked. I think that could have been a thing if Berra didn't work his tail off during the offseason and look, you know, decent enough during the preseason. So good for him.
Well, he didn't score a goal, so forget him.
Yeah, I mean, we need some production out of him. You know,
come on, big guy.
He's
good. And not only did he get a shutout, he got a shutout despite tape leg saying the S word early on in the game.
Yes, I did say shutout in the really, really early.
Oh, you got lucky there.
I think first period, didn't I?
You got real. Yeah, you got real lucky there.
Yeah. Now he had to overcome a Ducks team that can't score, but it's still the Ducks, and me actually saying the S word.
That's right. And he got a couple good rings off posts as well. So the posts were his friends last mm-hmm. night. And that's always a good
dude
thing.
Only has to stop 4x6. That's it. He doesn't have have to do 4.5 inches.
Nope.
Or 4'4" and 1/2". Doesn't have to do 6'1". It's 4x6. That's all he's got
to
stop.
That's right. It sounds so easy. The way you make it sound, you make it sound really simple. No problem, right?
Totally. Put me in, coach.
I'm in.
So did he earn himself a Kings start?
Yeah, it looks like he's going to start for the Kings.
Yes, so, he
yeah.
did.
I mean, why not?
He will be in net, and I don't see any reason why not. So hopefully they keep playing well. So, all right, we've got some 20th anniversary team information too. We're not going to talk a ton about this, but the Avalanche just released their team today. Some other places, the Denver Post chose their top 20 Avs of all time, and Mile High Sports as well. I will link all these in on the post on AvsHockeyPodcast.com along with the show itself. No big surprises, especially near the top. Joe Sakic is your consensus number one. Generally goes Sakic, Forsberg. Who else? Oh, no, it goes Sakic, Wah, Forsberg, and then Foote and Hajduk are kind of interchangeable there. So anybody left off or anybody you think Ray Bourque is one that I think a lot of people would like to see a little bit higher, but he only played with the Avalanche for a few seasons. I mean, he did a lot of big things and made the team better, but you don't see him on a few lists and you see him on a few lists. So there it is. Mm-hmm. But any big surprises or are you guys digging these 20th anniversary teams? Does it make you feel nostalgic?
Yeah, kind of. I mean, I enjoy them. I think it's fun because there's going to be some people out there who are like, wait a minute, who's Adam Deadmarsh? Wait a minute. Who's Sandis Ozelich? You know?
Yep.
But, you know, where's Uwe Krupp? Come on. That's
where's the right. sheriff?
I haven't seen him on many of the lists.
Where's Avisher?
Yeah. That's right. Peter Budaj is another one. It's like, you know, he's right up there with goaltenders, but you won't see him on any of the top 20 lists. It's really interesting.
No, Jose Teodor. No, he's not going to make any of these lists, nope, but,
not at all.
No, I wouldn't. I know the Uwe Krupp probably wasn't, you know, it's probably top 25, you know, it's like, sure. who's just outside that crutch because, you know, Krupp did win, score that, the 96 goal. Yep. I mean, that was a huge deal. And that was a huge game that triple overtime.
And then he went
and the Avs sweep the Panthers.
And, that's right.
That was big.
Then he went and played for the Red Wings and then everybody hated him.
Oh, well, good point. Yeah, forget him.
That's right.
Never mind.
I hate him. I had to erase that from my memory until now. Thanks.
Yeah.
Hey, I'm here to help.
You know, and Bourque, I mean, great Bourque, you know, still mostly a Bruin, still mostly, you know, mostly most of his career, most of his greatness was with the Bruins. But
that's right.
You know, guy won a cup here and, you know, he was a big deal. He was... just as a player in general is a big deal. So yeah, it's nice to see him on there, but I definitely would like to, I'm wondering who it would be with the top 25.
True. One of the best moments in hockey history though, right there. So yeah, there's that. I will, like I said, I'll link those up in the post for the show. You guys can check those out there if you'd like to. I got a couple of notes too. Let's talk Avalanche defense just for a minute. I want to say it's better. I don't know whether there was a, I don't know if it could get a ton worse from last season though, either. Francois Beauchemin has been a really good pickup and I think Will can talk on both sides of that one, but Beauchemin he's been solid. He's been a good pair for Eric Johnson and that's worked out pretty well so far, but, past that, and you know, Nate Gennon was in the lineup last night, Brad Stewart, we haven't seen yet. But yeah, people aren't quite sure where to point their finger when it comes to big Avalanche defense issues. And I think there's still going to be some, I think there's still some work to do on the blue line and hopefully 35 shot shutouts won't happen a whole lot. Maybe they can shut them down a little bit more, but Avalanche defense, what are you guys' thoughts?
I think, I mean, obviously on paper, it's better than it was last season, but they're going to need some time to gel. Of course. I think their problem so far, especially seeing that in the Boston game, there's a lot of running around, not playing defense as a unit. So, you know, when they're getting scored on, a lot of people want to point at the goaltending or point at the defense, but I think it's more of a problem playing as a unit. I mean, a lot of those goals against Boston, just a lot of running around, getting all out of position. And then, you know, you saw what happened firsthand.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, last night we were seeing some, you know, a few different combos, a few different pairs. Holden was out with Barry a few times, things like that. You know, everybody's still not too pleased with Nate Ginnon. He does not look comfortable at all. He is mostly his breakouts last night looked pretty bad. He was just dumping the puck, really, really reckless, just not taking the time to look around, even when he had time to make some kind of pass. I'm still not a huge Holden fan, but you know, he seems to be a little less of an issue these days. But the interesting one, of course, is Brad Stewart, and that Stewart is healthy scratch a couple times now, and that's a lot of money and a lot of a guy that they were expecting to hold up some responsibility. that just is not getting the job done. But you see a lot of criticism about the, you know, the Avs need better D, the Avs need better D. And then it seems like people are loath to actually pick apart what the problems are, who the issues are. You know, you have to, I feel like you just can't say the Avs need better D and then throw your hands up in the air and go, well, I don't know what the real problem is.
Yeah.
You know, the problem is more than just Nate Ginnin.
Yeah. And I think when you,
and we have Stewart for two more years, right?
Yeah. I think it's two
more years.
Yeah. So, I mean, but when you start talking, when you start throwing around names like Brad Stewart, Holden looked a little better last night, but Stewart, Holden, Ginnin, that's half your core right there. At least the six that'll be playing night in, night out, right around in there. But, hopefully there's some young, you know, it might be that the Duncan Siemens experiment is over as early as they sent him down. He's kind of running out of time. I don't know how patient the organization's going to be with someone like him. You've got the Chris Bigras of the world, and hopefully he can step up his game and continue to develop. And hopefully when some of these contracts are up, or you never know what might happen with the team, but a lot of people were quick to blame Varley when it came to the Bruins goals that were being scored the other night. And I can kind of get that too. And I'm sure he would say the same thing, but some good defense, some good defense makes a big, big difference. And the Avalanche are still struggling just a little bit, and hopefully they can stay healthy so things don't have to get any more interesting than they are already.
Yeah, no, I agree. It's just tough to, you know, to watch that you have a solid top three defense. And and Boschman was the guy who everybody was questioning, is this a good pickup? Is this a good pickup? And he's been great. You know, I just don't, it's that bottom three that is still so difficult. Yeah. And it's a little frustrating. I just expect a little better from those guys down there.
You know,
and also that the forwards, I want to just see them be able to go a little better without having to worry about that who the pairings are out there.
You know who the team needs back? Stanley Cup champion Kyle Komiski.
Hey, that is the thing. This is, you know, it's team sports. You know, Kyle Komiski is a Stanley Cup champion, like it or not.
His name,
you know, he's got the ring.
His name is on it. Yeah, that's true. They just signed him and then they waived him. I'm not quite sure how that all worked out, but he is. Mm. They did sign him to a deal the other day, so he's back. So good for him. Good for him. Hey,
how many Stanley Cup champions are there on the Avs right now?
Oh. On the Avalanche,
just one.
There's Bosch.
Boschman.
Yeah, there's Boschman.
And Boschman and
Tanguay.
Boschman. Oh, Tanguay. Good call. Tanguay, Boschman.
Yeah. Brad Stewart.
Yes.
Yeah. He won, I think, with the Red Wings.
Yeah,
I believe that's correct.
Sorry to say that bad word on the show.
That's okay.
Yeah, that's twice. That's okay. What are we doing?
I got a hockey stick over there. I'll beat the crap out of you with it later.
What is happening here?
Yeah, I think that's it.
James, feel free to give Will a hip check whenever you want.
Oh yeah, no, I'm gonna break his hip just like that, just like that guy in the Michigan State game at the end.
There you go. Hey James, we got a voicemail.
I know, it's weird.
How exciting
it's
is that?
Weird.
We offer it all the time, and then we got a voicemail, and now we don't know what to do with it. But
I know. Well,
we're gonna.
I'm gonna play that voicemail, and then we'll answer the questions.
So. All right, we're playing the voicemail. Here we go.
Hey guys, this is Jason Hotzinger, Jack Slung on Twitter. Follow you guys basically from the beginning of the podcast. Love your stuff, and I met both you guys at one point or another. I had pizza with James a few years ago here in Omaha, Nebraska. I met Jay at the San Jose game year before last when the Avs clinched the playoffs. That was awesome. I need to do that again. But I felt bad for your little voicemail. I couldn't believe that no one's ever called you guys, so I figured I'd give a call. Had a question. You were talking about on the podcast today how James seemed like you kind of thought that you might think that Eric Johnson's maybe a little bit overrated by Avs fans, just a little. And I wanted to ask, do you think Eric Johnson would be a top two defenseman on any NHL team? And without doing any research and looking at anything or even really thinking about it that much, I want to say that, yes, I think he would be in the top two on any team, maybe with one exception, but I one or two, but probably I would think every team. But all right, well, love you guys' work. Keep it up, and I can't wait for hockey. All right, bye.
So the question was basically about Eric Johnson and would he, you know, the overratedness of him. You know, and we talked a little bit about Johnson and his development and that his development has had to be so public because it's always been in the NHL. And Jay, you were talking about Duncan Siemens and whether or not he's, you know, that whether or not they have the patience with him, you know, and everybody says basically from the goal out, it take, you know, it takes longer from the goal line.
Oh yeah.
You know, so the defensemen take a while, take longer than the forwards. And It's a really tough thing for those guys. I think he's developed into a really good defenseman. It's gotten better. His just in the last couple of years, yeah, he's gotten a lot better.
I think that's the big key. I think he's still getting better. That's
yeah.
I mean, when you can get better at that level, that says a lot about your literally your development. If he's plateaued out or and I'm, you know, as far as, you know, Jason's question, Jason, thank you, by the way, for getting in touch with us.
Yeah. But, thank you so much.
But I mean, like it's just like you said, James, I think it's a very difficult position to be able to get better. You can ask, you know, I think that's the reason why the Avalanche didn't go with Seth Jones, because I think they needed some more offense. They wanted to go with the absolute best player. And that might've been why Seth Jones slipped as well. There's not a lot of teams that have the patience to be able to wait for guys, especially if they're drafting that high in the draft. So with all he's been through, with a team literally giving up on him, to see him get a little bit better and develop and still you can see his value raise. I mean, I think that's awesome. Is he a one or a two on every single team in the NHL? Probably not.
Yeah, there's probably a couple out there that he may not be top two, but he's definitely 3-4.
I'd say he is for the majority of them, especially on the power play. With all that he can do, I mean, he's getting towards a unique player where he can play the physical game and he makes good decisions defensively. There's not a lot of plays throughout the season where you're like, what was that? You know, what are you doing? Where are you going? How can you lose sight of that? But on the power play, he's become kind of a force on the point, and that's what you like to see. And it seems like Boschman has allowed him to flourish even a little bit more. And, you know, so much of that has to do with the partner you're playing with as well. I mean, if you can ask Tyson Berry about that right now. I mean, he was paired with Nate Gennon, and we really haven't seen much from Tyson. I think he has a couple assists so far, but we haven't noticed him in the past. I think he would like to play with, say, an Eric Johnson or somebody like that. And, you know, hey, you want to see a good player, check out his line mates or check out his defensive pairing. And, you know, I like him. I mean, I wouldn't take a whole lot of other players for him right now. And I think that says a lot.
Yeah. And a guy like Victor Hedman comes to mind. I mean, he was drafted same year as Duchesne, in fact, ahead of Duchesne, second overall. And just last season, he's starting to become that, you know, that top guy that they drafted. So, you know, that D takes a while to,
mm-hmm. It does, especially the defenseman, especially a young defenseman. I mean, there's so much to learn.
And, you know, we're talking about development of these guys and these guys who didn't spend time in the minors. The Avs didn't have any control over Johnson's development until they got a hold of him from the Blues. So he had to develop in the Blues system. And I can't really say, you know, whether that was good or bad for him. But O'Reilly, Duchesne, Landeskog, who did they start their development with? Yeah. Joe Sacco, who pretty much everybody is... You know, the general consensus is that he was a bit lacking. Yeah. So,
you really think so?
I'm just saying. I know it's a pretty bold statement to make there.
We're all about bold statements on the Avs Hockey Podcast. You're home for almost everything Avalanche.
I'm the guy who gets the twit, who gets the tweets.
That's
about
right.
How could you even say that? How could you even have that opinion? Well, I know, very controversial. Joe Sacco may not have been the greatest coach ever to coach the Avs. He may have been the second worst.
How dare you? How dare you?
I know. But, you know, these guys have to, where are they going to develop? And would you rather have, like, let's say, Nathan MacKinnon developing under Patrick Waugh, who spent time in the juniors in his capacity as a GM and as a coach? Or would you rather have it with Joe Sacco? And any day of the week, I'll say Waugh.
I hear you.
Yeah. So, you know, I think that, you know, just those, you know, those same criticisms that we touched on earlier. And yeah. I think that maybe there's a couple teams like, you know, who is it? St. Louis probably would have still, you know, may have some room for him in the 3-4, but probably not top two.
Sure.
What's there? But Blackhawks, on the Blackhawks, he would definitely be number four, possibly number five.
Exactly.
Same with Rangers.
I think generally for all he brings to the table, he's going to be a one or a two on most of the NHL teams. And I'm glad he's on the Colorado Avalanche Hockey Club. I like that.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah, for sure.
Absolutely. Yeah. All right. Hey, we also got an email. This is like crazy.
This is weird.
Hey, guys, I'm a new listener and have really been enjoying the podcast. My question is, who do you think will have a brighter future in the NHL? Dennis Everberg or Borna Rendulic? And this is from Richard from the Basement Boys Hockey Podcast. Richard, thanks for the question. What do you guys think? I mean, what do you think, Everberg or Rendulic? I think I've been saying it wrong. It's Rendulic.
It's
Rendulic. Who would you take? Who would you take if you had the choice?
Let's see. Hang on a second. Let me find out. Oh, it's heads. so I'm going with Rendulic. It all just depends on who's got more room to develop, in my opinion. Yeah. But you know, I think that Everberg. I've criticized Everberg, and I'm criticizing it for the reason that I'm criticizing it. It's not because he's a bad player. It's because when the Avs needed to be tougher to play against, he was not that tough to play against. Yeah. And I want to, if he can figure out how to bring the skills that he has to the table while also being harder to play against in the corners and along the boards, I think that he has a place, but I really think he has to develop those things. You know, Rendulic's on the team and Everberg's not, and that could be just the flavor of the moment. It kind of depends on how they feel about him and how much he can develop. And yeah, if he wants to, we'll see how much he likes San Antonio. We've seen guys get sent down and just go, wow, this is not what I want at all, and move on. So yeah, we'll see.
Yeah, I agree. I think it just kind of depends on what kind of game is being played. I mean, you got more of a skater game, I guess you're going to go with Rendulic. But if you're going to be more of a grinding game, especially if Everberg can continue to develop and use his size, that's your guy. So I think it's a tough comparison because they do play two very, I don't want to say very different games, but they're definitely, I don't know if they're comparable between each other, but there it is. Either way, we appreciate the question. Richard, thanks, man. What else? Anything else you guys want to throw in before we spiel it up?
No, I just, you know, I think it's been a lot of fun so far this start of the season. It already looks better than the preseason does. I did want to mention, I was looking at the standings and the Avs are 2-2. They have 4 points right now, which puts them in sixth place in their division. In other divisions, if they were playing in the Pacific right now, they would be fourth. Yeah. If they were playing in the Metropolitan, they would be fifth ahead of the Penguins. So it's looking to be pretty tough again this season. You know, it's definitely a very competitive division. And there's, you know, we still haven't seen the Ducks turn it on yet. The Kings have only won one game. It's going to be, the conference itself is going to be very competitive. The division is going to be competitive. It should be a very interesting year. I think the best hockey is going to be in the West again this
Absolutely.
Year.
It's hard to argue with that one.
Yep.
What else do we have? Gabriel Landeskog and Nathan MacKinnon both have 6 points through four games. Francois Beauchemin has 5 assists through four games. And as I mentioned before, John Mitchell has four goals in as many games to start the season. So a good start, a better start offensively. The Avalanche had 0 goals through two games last year, and they had 10 through two games this season. So it's nothing you can say, oh, it's going to be a different season, they're going to set records, but it's definitely better than last season. So there is that. So, yeah. Avs hockey's back. I'm excited about that, even when they do play like they did against the Bruins the other night. It's still it's still exciting to have the season.
A day with bad hockey is better than a day with no hockey.
Absolutely. Preach on, brother.
Yep.
All right. All right, how about a spiel? How you doing?
Oh, I think I can do this spiel. You ready?
Let's do it.
I don't know. Will, do you want to do the spiel?
No, you can do the honors.
That's so nice of him. Actually, we've been throwing around some ideas. The spiel, we'll be talking about the spiel coming up here in the next few episodes. So stay tuned on that one.
Sometimes I hate doing the spiel.
No.
It's just a lot of pressure to do the spiel.
No.
But I'm going to do it. I'm going to do it right now.
Go for it.
You can always find the Avs Hockey Podcast at www.avshockeypodcast.com, where you can chime in about this episode, maybe count how many times I said versus Will saying I think that I got more.
I'm a close second.
No, I think I blew you away this time. See? Right there.
It's a tie.
You can find links to subscribe in iTunes. Just click on the iPod with the smiley face. Or if you don't have iTunes, you can click on the frowny-faced one. And that will take you to our feed, and it makes it easy to listen to the Avs Hockey Podcast anytime that we put out a new episode, which will hopefully be in about probably 2 to 3 weeks. There's also a link to Jay's Instagram account, which is Avs Podcast, him on Twitter, which is Avs Podcast, and the Facebook page, which is Avs Hockey Podcast, because we're consistent. And also a team AHL link, team AHP link.
Yes, that's the thing.
See, that's why I hate this spiel. yep, there's a link there. It's a thing. And Jay just put up some more jerseys, including Gabriel Landeskog 2014-15 game worn white jersey. It's very pretty.
I like jerseys.
Go see it. Go look at the damage that's been done to it, not by Jay, but by real hockey players.
Yes.
You can also call us at 845-704-7465. That's 845-704-PUCK. And leave us a message. As you see, we finally got one and we responded. How awesome is that? And Jay, of course, you can also email us at avshockeypodcast@gmail.com. My blog is at jerseysandhockeylove.com. And Will, you are at
Ducks Avs Podcast
is your Twitter.
Yep.
And your podcast is?
Podcast, you could find the artistbrewpodcast.com or on Twitter, it's artbrewpodcast.
Awesome. There's the spiel.
Sweet. Props to James Tapeleg Grayley. And for those of you that haven't seen the redesigned avshockeypodcast.com, it looks so awesome. It's a little more optimized for your mobile viewing pleasure. So go check that out. James, thank you so much for all the work you did on there.
No problem.
It's beautiful.
It's awesome. Will, I just want to thank you for being on the show with us. It's cool having a third voice in the room, literally. We appreciate your support over the years and all the awesome stuff you're doing with hockey and everything else you're doing. So we will definitely talk to you soon, and please stay in touch. And thanks for everything, man.
Yeah, absolutely. It's been a lot of fun. Thanks, guys, for having me.
No problem. Oh, I have a shout out, by the way.
Yes, sir.
Shout out to Travis, two guys I met at the Ducks preseason game, Ducks Avs preseason game. Travis, and also who is an Avs fan, and his Ducks buddy Stefan / Steve O / Estevan / Gloria / That's Icing. The guy has a lot of alternative names, and yet I had a great time sitting with them. So shout out to those guys, and also shout out to Will's friend Crazy, who is a Ducks fan and met at the game. So awesome. Yeah, shout out to all of them.
Awesome.
Oh, and on the blog, I did a shout out to Jory over at Colorado Avalanche Prospects. She's hitting the season hard and fast. So search out Colorado Avalanche Prospects blog. She updates on all of the games that the Avs prospects play wherever, be it in the juniors, in the minors, or even in college. So shout out to her for doing a good job starting off this season.
I saw Jory the other night at the game. That was, I always like seeing Jory. Yeah. If you're not following,
did you give her a hug for me?
Absolutely. It's never quite as, it's not a tape leg hug, but it's, I try.
No,
Nothing
is as awkward as a tape leg hug.
If you're not following her stuff, as far as everything she does for all the teams coming up, she does a fabulous job with that and has been doing that for a long time. So make sure you find her stuff, Colorado Avalanche Prospects. I also have a shout out for Ty Skywalk. I know that's not his name, but that's his Facebook name. But he sought me out at the game when I was there the other night and has been a fan of our show for a while. So shout out to you, Ty. Great to meet you. Hopefully you can see you again soon. And we appreciate your support. Otherwise, that's about it. Do you guys have any other final awesome words for the great people out there?
No, just, you know, let's go Avs. Try to try not to live and die too much by every single game. You know,
I thought the season was over, though.
Season was over. That's why you shouldn't live and die by every single game. The season is done, so you might as well not even try at this point.
I didn't get.
But you know, just watch it all, see how it goes, enjoy. Have a good time. That's all.
I don't want to generalize it too much, but watching hockey and watching the Avs lose is better than no Avs hockey at all. I'd please don't bury me on that one. But again, Will, take care. Thank you again. James, you're the man. Thank you.
Thanks again, guys.
Yep.
All right, everybody else out there, we'll be back at you in a couple of weeks. We appreciate your support. Thank you for the download, and thank you for listening. You're why we do it. So until we talk next time, take care. Let's go Avs. And James and I'll talk to you again next time on the Avs Hockey Podcast. See you.
Did you know, brought to you by did you know that the Avs season is over? Which period against Minnesota was it that ended the Avs season early? Was it the first period, the second period, or the third period? Text your answer.